Hello, and welcome to Stick Together, Australia's only national radio show dedicated to workplace and social justice issues. Stick Together is produced in the studios at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne and broadcast nationally via the Community Radio Network. My name's Annie McLaughlin. This is the second part of our special looking at the fire in the Hazelwood open cut near the Victorian township of Morwell. Throughout February and March of this year, for 45 days, the township of Morwell, 149 kilometres east of Melbourne, was plagued by a thick, smothering blanket of coal smoke spewing from a fire that is still smouldering in the depths of a vast open-cut coal mine separated from the township of 13,000 people by a six-lane highway. It took over 2 weeks for government agencies to respond with on-the-ground services for residents who called what was happening in their town a disaster, but which the government characterised as an incident. In this program, we look at why people say it is a fire that should never have happened. We look at the Victorian government policies, which could see Morwell surrounded by open-cut mines into the future. But first, we turn our attention to the Board of Inquiry into the Hazelwood coal mine fire announced on the 11th of March.
We need help!
On the 11th of March, a group of Morwell residents came to the Melbourne headquarters of GDF Sewer, owners of the Hazelwood power plant, to give the company a bill for the health and material costs to the community caused by the fire in the open-cut mine. Their way was barred by a security guard. The group of residents then made their way to the steps of Victoria's Parliament to state their demands.
I'm actually going to read the demands so I get them correct, because this is what I've been asked to do. We insist that a judicial inquiry be held and that it reports publicly. We mean publicly, not a hidden inquiry. We want to know exactly everything that's happened. It's already clear that this fire was entirely preventable. GDF Sewers did not have the procedure in place to stop a fire in the mine. And is just the latest in a series of preventable disasters occurring in the valley as a result of corporate and government negligence. This time the community demands that the responsible government departments and GDF Sewers are held accountable. We also call on the government to create a disaster relief fund to help deal with the ongoing health, economic, social and education impacts that this fire is causing. Once the fire is out, it will be a long road to recover for the Latrobe Valley community, and the government must take responsibility to provide full assistance to help us recuperate. I'd like to introduce Greg Barber. Before I do that though, I have just been informed that a judicial inquiry has been ordered, so I just hope now that they do make it public that we actually know a lot of the truth. I'll hand over to Greg.
Thanks everybody for coming all the way from Morwell and the Latrobe Valley to here. Hope you took advantage of your free V-Line travel that the Premier granted you a week or so ago. And thanks for making the trek all the way up Bourke Street as well. We've got a cup of tea for you inside in a minute. But it's only when you've raised your voices in this way that the government has acted at all in this crisis. And it's only that you've come here on the steps today that the government's rushed out an announcement about an inquiry, but no terms of reference that they can show us yet. Of course, we'd insist this covers the whole incident, going all the way back to the beginning as to how it could have even been permitted to start, right through to the effects on all of you, socially, economically, and in terms of your health, not just today, but all the way through to the future. It's taken your voices every single step of the way for a government who's been on the back foot at every stage. They're still on the back foot today, rushing out this announcement, with no clarity as to what the terms of reference will be. So keep doing what you're doing, please, and we'll do what we can in Parliament to amplify your voice. Thanks very much.
And you can be guaranteed that Voices of the Valley is not going away.
10 days later, the Deputy Premier of Victoria, Peter Ryan, the local member for South Gippsland, announced a Board of Inquiry into the Hazelwood coal mine fire. A Board of Inquiry has the same powers as a Royal Commission. The inquiry would be headed by Justice Bernard Teague, who previously headed the inquiry into the devastating Black Saturday bushfires in 2009, and be supported by Professor Catford, Executive Director of Medical Services at Epworth Healthcare, and Ms. Sonia Petering, Chair of the Rural Finance Corporation of Victoria and a Director of the Transport Accident Commission. The specific matters to be investigated include 1. The origin and circumstances of the fire, 2. The adequacy and effectiveness of the measures taken by or on behalf of the owner, including implementation of recommendations arising from reviews of previous events, and if the licensee breached or did not comply with requirements of relevant statute or regulation, 3. The adequacy and effectiveness of relevant regulatory regimes in relation to the risk of and response to fire at Hazelwood coal mine. And finally, 4. The adequacy and effectiveness of the response to the Hazelwood coal mine fire. We spoke to Felicity Milner, principal lawyer at the Environmental Defender's Office, for her understanding of what one should expect from an inquiry.
That first of all, think that the regulations should have ensured that it shouldn't have happened in the first place. We've now got a question about whether the regulations were inadequate or whether the regulations weren't being complied with. And if the regulations weren't being complied with, we want to know why the various government agencies responsible for that compliance weren't ensuring that they were complied with, so this didn't happen. I mean, I think this disaster is foreseeable. We've all known that there's a risk of brown coal catching on fire, so we want to know why either the measures that should have been in place weren't in place, or if there were requirements that the mine do certain things, why were they not required to do that?
Dr. Nicholas Abel from Environment Victoria agreed that the terms of reference for the inquiry were reasonably comprehensive. However, he wrote that all Victorians must be able to make submissions. At the moment, it is at the discretion of the inquiry whether public submissions will be accepted. He also wrote that while the terms of reference direct the inquiry to address the adequacy and effectiveness of the application and administration of relevant regulatory regimes, there is no explicit requirement for the board to investigate whether the existing regulatory regime is itself adequate to prevent such fires from occurring. The role of GDF Sewer in this disaster must be investigated, but so must the role of government in setting the conditions under which such mines operate. Finally, Dr. Abel says the terms of reference require the board to report its findings to Cabinet. We would like an understanding from Premier Napthine that the full findings of the inquiry will be made public within a week of the completion of the inquiry. The people of Morwell in particular deserve to know the full truth behind this disaster. We spoke to Luke van der Meulen, Victorian President of the CFMEU Mining and Energy Division, about mine regulation in the Latrobe Valley, and in particular why it has been said the fire at Hazelwood should never have happened.
Oh, look, we've had a fair bit to say about mines in and around Latrobe Valley for some time now, and if you go back to the Latrobe River collapse into the mine at Yallourn a couple of years ago, the Prentice Highway closure, which occurred for 4 months, what was that, 2 years ago, and also the Moore River collapse in the Yallourn mine a little while ago. We've been saying for some years now that the regulation involving these mines is either non-existent or that slack, that it's effectively non-existent. And what we're saying about this particular fire is that it's a fire that should never have happened. That part of the mine should have been rehabilitated years and years ago. And until it was rehabilitated, fire equipment and pipework and fire suppressant gear should have been maintained until that mine was fully rehabilitated. We think that it's a problem of regulation. We think different departments have let the Latrobe Valley and Victorian community down badly again. And all sorts of other factors have been brought in to mitigate the responsibility of the company and the regulator. But I think any investigation whatsoever will show that you can't leave a mine abandoned the way they've done at Morwell and not expect it eventually to catch fire like this and cause the havoc that it's currently causing in the Latrobe Valley community.
There seems to be a certain amount of resentment, and I, of course, about, you know, how this has all been handled and the general condition of things at the moment. But when I asked them what were the most important issues for Morwell for the future, they tussled between the two, which was employment and health. And often people went health before employment. Where do you stand on all this?
Well, I think, you know, without health, what's the point in having it? Like, if you haven't got your health, you haven't got anything. But also, in a community, if you haven't got a job, you're in a real bad way as well. I mean, my concerns are employment and health as well. And I reckon a real question for the community is not the immediate dealing with the fire. I think what people really need to be looking at is what's going to happen when companies like Hazelwood are finished with this mine and leave our community with these scars, these fire-prone scars, a moonscape in the community that haven't been rehabilitated. These are areas that could be used for real recreation and they could be a real resource for the community instead of basically an eyesore and just an ugly thing. What the Latrobe Valley community need to push the Victorian government into making sure is that we get into a proper rehabilitation of these mines, not just covering them over in clay and leaving these ugly holes in the ground. I mean, I think these mines could be rehabilitated into something that's really useful for sporting grounds, recreational facilities, bike tracks, sorts of things that could invite nature back into the place. If anyone looks at the Moore mine and actually looks at the working area, it takes up about 15% of the mine's the mine in totality. The other 90 or 85% of it is disused, abandoned, fire-prone, ugly areas that need to be fixed up. I think the government should have a contract with the people that if you want to mine coal, that's all well and good, but at the end of the day, you should rehabilitate those coal mines for something useful at the end.
We also spoke to Graham Middlemouth, the Victorian Vice President of the CFMEU Mining and Energy Division and a Latrobe City Councillor.
The problem is privatisation. On privatisation, and all these documents are secret, you know, commercial in confidence rubbish, apparently they were given an understanding how they could rehabilitate the mines when they'd finished working them. I have heard that the Yallawn mine, the rehabilitation plan there was just to knock a hole in the side of the Morwell River and let it fill it up and become an ornamental lake. I've heard that the Catchment Management Authority calculated that the river would have to run for 8 months into the Yallawn mine. But, of course, that takes water out of the Latrobe River, etc. This mine here, behind us, the Morwell mine, is much deeper than the Yallawn mine. Mm. It's a very deep mine. Filling it with water, I don't know what the recreational value of something like that would be. I think the solution, and this union, CFMEU, has advocated this for quite some time, would be to push the batters down and you know, put a gentle slope on the sides, put clay over the sides, some plantings on it, and perhaps a small lake in the bottom may be the solution. But we should be progressively doing that. As we mine out, work out an area of the mine and go into another area, we should be doing this remediation work now.
Do you see Morwell's future as the centre of a very large future open-cut mine?
The mining licences for Yallawn have a mining licence to go right down the entire western boundary of Morwell, and they're slowly moving towards that. I don't think their power station will need that coal, but they're probably looking to sell the coal to somebody else, a transformed coal operation like agricultural fertiliser or pelletised coal for export. So I think at the moment they're going to go down the western boundary. The southern boundary of the town has this cut, this mine here, and there is another body of coal between Maule and Trogen called Area H, which the government has slated for mining sometime in the future, although I believe the social backlash against that might prevent them from doing it, because Maule would be surrounded on three sides, and Trogen would then have a dust bowl sitting right beside it. So I suspect that that one will go on the back burner for a while.
Before we explore the issue of Victoria's prospective coal future and its costs, the fire itself needs to be examined. There is no question that the firefighters have done a remarkable job containing the fire at Hazelwood Mine. Listeners may not be aware that this has been done under the pressure of cuts to their budget and denial of workers' compensation. We spoke to Peter Marshall, the Victorian Secretary of the United Firefighters Union.
Well, it's a firefight that we're not seeing globally, this type of mining operation, open cut the way it is. We haven't got any learning experiences to draw from, so certainly it's an evolving situation down there. But, I mean, for your listeners, you can look at a briquette heater, well, effectively multiply that by tens of thousands of times, and in reality, that's what firefighters are confronting.
Mm. The safety issues that are involved, what are they?
Well, the safety issues, as I already said, were oxygen-depleted atmosphere, very high levels of carbon monoxide exposure over long periods of time, as well as particulate exposure, which we haven't got the results of yet. Firefighting is a very dangerous job, as we know. We've had the health department come out and warn that long-term exposure could result in cancer. That's one of the firefighters' greatest fears, is actually contracting occupational cancer. The most tragic circumstances about this, the firefighters are doing their best, going beyond the call, to ensure that Victorians' assets are protected and the community and all are protected. The Victorian government, Mr. Napline's government, has failed to enact legislation to protect firefighters in the event they contract occupational cancer. Your audience need to understand is that firefighters have been deployed to this situation against the backdrop of $66 million being ripped out of the fire service budget by the Napline government, the freezing of any recruitment processes and recruit courses. This is a government that stopped the increased number of firefighters that were highlighted as being needed by the Chief Executive Officer in the CFA during the Royal Commission. That's put enormous strain on the fire service, which is exacerbated by being deployed to this type of fire. Clearly what we're seeing here is the effects of the ill-conceived, and we say extremely irresponsible, policies of the Napline government. And I can say it's got nothing to do with firefighter pay increases. That's not the issue here. It's about the safety of firefighters, the resourcing of the fire services against a backdrop of savage cuts by Napline government.
Over the last 2 weeks, the Stick Together show has been looking at the effects of the fire in Hazelwood open-cut coal mine in the Latrobe Valley in Victoria, a fire that spewed toxic smoke across the nearby town of Morwell during February and March this year. The inadequate government response led Morwell residents to distrust government health information and to question the sincerity of the government when it said that the health and well-being of the local residents was their highest priority. While the firefighters did an amazing job to contain the fire at great personal risk, the Victorian government has withdrawn millions of dollars out of the emergency service budget, capped trainee intakes, and refused to legislate to support firefighters' claims for occupational cancer. Premier Napthine was happy to receive reflected glory from their outstanding work in photo opportunities for the press. Most Victorians would be unaware that despite the apparent crisis in the management of the Latrobe Valley coalfields in Victoria, the Victorian government is setting in motion the further exploitation of the brown coal deposits in the Latrobe Valley, which will see the digging of 13 more open cuts the size of Hazelwood. They've invested with the Commonwealth Government $90 million in research funds into ways to export the dangerously volatile brown coal through proposed port sites such as McGowan's Beach in the middle of 90 Mile Beach and Corner Inlet beside Wilson's Promontory. These plans will be allied through their much publicised removal of red and green tape and the Commonwealth Government's decision that coal will be the centrepiece of Australia's energy policy. The fire at Hazelwood, with its cost to community health and the public purse, raises serious questions about the government's economic competency. It must be remembered that, as with the proposed East-West Link project, the Napthine government in Victoria did nothing but dig into the barrel of past governments' wish lists. The idea to export brown coal was developed by the previous Labor government. We spoke to Matthew Wright, Executive Director of Zero Emissions Australia, to unravel the myth of Victoria's dependency on Hazelwood Power Station for electricity and the issue of the Victorian government's dependence on coal. We first asked, how important is Hazelwood Power to electricity generation in Victoria?
It's currently providing a substantial amount of energy, but that's not to say that it can't be replaced if there's the will to do so. And we've seen renewable energy come on really strong, and we've seen, without much intervention at all, in fact, almost none, people's demand reducing. So, in fact, there's actually a virtual power station out there from people's negative demand or their ability to buy more efficient appliances and switch things that were not needed off. So the energy to replace Hazelwood is already available in terms of renewable energy and the ability to reduce our consumption. So it's really just a matter of will. And what we've got is a bunch of assets owned by some very wealthy multinationals, and they'll do whatever they can just to wring the last dollar out of us via those assets, because they bought them and they want to make money on them, and to close them down takes political will.
Now, you've told me that the power station Hazelwood is producing 160,000 megawatts gross, 1,408 megawatts net, and that this could be replaced by about 430 wind turbines, correct?
It certainly could. In fact, these days there's actually bigger wind turbines out there, so you could even do it with less wind turbines. So, yes, certainly just a few wind farms of the size being installed around the world would actually knock out the contribution of Hazelwood. And we have the capability to very quickly install wind. We have a construction force that's actually seeing a downturn in the inner city apartment building space and office block and you know, mega mall installation space. So there's a huge workforce available to do that. In fact, I was meeting with the construction union head only a week ago, and then he was talking about how they were very keen and ready and willing to be taking on renewable energy build projects. The equipment's certainly there. It's coming along in wet leaps and bounds, and the stuff is very competitively priced. So in other words, even if you don't take into account the terrible environmental performance of the alternatives of the fossil fuel burning, renewables are actually really close to the mark on price.
Why is it so attractive to the government to keep investing in the coal-fired facilities down in East Gippsland, especially after what Morwell's just experienced? Is it actually cheap?
Well, I guess there's a perception that if you've got a natural resource, you should exploit it by some quarters. That's their view of growth and how civilizations evolve. So they think that you must take advantage, and they call it your natural advantage, and they say you've got to take advantage of all these natural advantages. So if you've got a resource, exploit as fast as you can to lift your economy and your wealth and well-being. But that's one perspective. Another perspective says that you want to actually choose, you know, a pathway for your society that actually benefits them in as many ways as possible. And you need to take into account a whole lot of factors, which include your actual health and well-being in terms of air quality, quality of water, conservation of natural environment, and how that then all dovetails into those indicators. And I think currently what exploiting things like coal is doing is it's actually creating some communities that are terribly disadvantaged relative to others. And we really need to move away from that. And another possible reason that it's hanging in there is, of course, perceptions around the impacts to jobs and things like that. I think you'll find that with only a couple of thousand workers in the Latrobe Valley, we could easily develop new industries there and create a robust economy there. In fact, we could locate some energy-related industries in the Latrobe Valley. The amount of effective subsidy from the state and the unwritten subsidy of people who are actually breathing these toxic fumes in, that this company and its sister company around the region there, like your China Light and Power, who own your Lawn Power Station and the Loyang A and Loyang B facility and the Morwell facility, they're all getting effectively state welfare. They really need to be cut off. The other big issue with these companies is that they'll possibly set them up so that they go into administration at the end of the production of the facility. So they'll try and avoid the cost of remediation, that these costs run into the hundreds of millions.
You'd expect that private industry, which is most interested in returning a profit to their shareholders, will behave in this kind of manner. But what about the role the government plays in enabling this?
Yeah, well, regulation or lapse regulation and lapse policing of any regulation that does exist, and that's certainly the case. The government seems to be heavily tied to the interest. It's got the colours of the coal industry firmly planted on its chest, really getting in behind it. I think that's the case with the current government, and unfortunately it was the case with the previous Labor government as well. So it's interesting that in light of the real global shifts towards renewable energy and away from coal, that there's still such a dramatic push towards, silly ideas such as exporting Victoria's pyrolytic, that means that instantly combusting if you dry brown coal, to places like India. These are just insane ideas, and a plan by most of the countries that are importing coal from New South Wales and Queensland to actually get off our coal. So they want energy security and autonomy as well for their nations. Possibly a blip that they need to import all this steaming coal. So there's no way, we're going to keep pouring money into trying to expand the lignite industry. Well, it's going to go nowhere in the long run.
That's it for Stick Together this week. We will return to the issues raised by the fire at Hazelwood Open Cut for Morwell and the Victorian community in coming months. Thanks for listening in. Stick Together is produced at 3CR Studios in Melbourne and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. The podcast is available at 3cr.org.au, and you can contact the producers of the show at stick.together@gmail.com. My name's Annie McLaughlin. Catch you next time.